FSN Radio.
It's all about what's next.
Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports.
The Financial Survival Network.
It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to and perhaps even watching the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz, and today is 12/9/2020. And the markets, well, what can you say? Gold is down. Everything else looks pretty good. Light trading past couple of weeks. And like to know what you think is happening here, where the market's heading, where precious metals are heading. Email us, kl@kerrylutz.com. Give us your opinion. Well, right now, got our good friend Chris Vermeulen with us, thetechnicaltrader.com. And Chris, great to have you back on. So first off, put the election aside. We're going to be feeling the fallout of that for quite a while. What do you see happening in the markets now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the markets are in still for a very wild ride. You look at, you know, COVID really creeping up, taking front and center, really record deaths in the United States. Pretty scary stuff. And the stock market, well, it's still holding up and trying to push higher. I think we're still trying to get that holiday Santa rally. And I think if you look at it just short term, I think we might see a pullback over the next maybe the week or so, but I do think we're still going to see the markets close higher on the year. And we're still seeing that sector rotation where money has kind of been flowing out of the technology area and into the economic stocks, which is more like the small caps. The Dow Jones has been performing well. So there's definitely investors, renewed investor interest, and that money is getting plopped into the market to buy these stocks, because they're looking beyond COVID. Now that we got a vaccine, there will be an end to this. So people are getting back into these beat up companies.
All right. So interesting what you said. So the leadership has shifted. We're seeing energy making a comeback, energy stocks, I should say, energy companies. We are seeing financials come out of the doldrums, and the Russell 2000 has become the leader of the pack. So the question is, how long is the party going to continue for?
Yeah, that's the big question. I think the markets are going to continue to rally. I think they're going to rally into January. I think we're going to see more stimulus get put to work here soon, hopefully. That's most likely going to drive the market higher. This just seems to be what stimulus is going to do. I do think next year is going to be a very wild ride, just like it was this year for the stock market. I don't think it's going to push to keep pushing up and up and up. I think we're going to see a pretty sharp correction at some point. I think COVID's going to catch up to the markets. And I think this market's just got a little overextended to the upside. I mean, you look where we are from the March lows. It's a massive run. Usually it takes a decade for the market to move that far. And it's done that, you know, in less than a year, a fraction of a year. So I think we're in for a really big volatility. But right now we are still seeing a lot of industries, individual industries, not so much sectors, but small groups of stocks within the markets still rocketing higher, like clean energy. You look at like solar, you look at clean energy stocks, the EV, electrical vehicle market is on fire. So there's a lot of pockets in here that people are, you know, interested in, and big money's flowing into those areas. And they're kind of flying under the radar to some extent.
Yeah, and that is kind of interesting thing, because intuitively you'd say this market should, it's way too high, it should take a hit and stay there. But when federal dollars and Fed dollars are flowing in prodigious, ever increasing amounts, then it kind of creates a floor for the market until that money gets cut off, which by necessity, it has to be at some point, because it might come down to the economy or the currency. And then what are they going to choose?
Yeah. The big question is how long are they going to print for? How far are they going to drive that dollar down? Eventually, there's going to lose faith in the dollar, I would think. And eventually, even if the stock market keeps going up, when you cash out of your plays, the dollar could be down 40, 50, 60% in value. Did you really make money if your stocks went up 60%, your currency fell 60%? I mean, it looks good on paper, but reality is you still got the same buying power you had, you know, before that rally. So that's the big trade-off. And I think a lot of people don't understand that. They think, hey, stock market's going to rip to the upside. I mean, that's where gold kind of comes into play, is kind of that safe haven. If the dollar does collapse, gold should hold value and you should have the same or more buying power then as you do now.
Yeah. So precious metals are the ultimate insurance policy. That's what it comes down to, right?
I think so. I mean, it's a physical asset. It's got value, and I don't know. You know, it's physical. Home, real estate has value. You know, you need physical things, and we're really coming into what I think is a commodity super cycle, which is great for precious metals. I think we're just getting into this phase where everything is in a bubble except for commodities. And people are going to realize, hey, where do I go if currencies are falling and the stock market starts to sell off? People are going to have to move somewhere. You don't want to hold a currency falling. So there was going to definitely be people shuffling money to different currencies to try to catch the one that's not falling the most. But they're going to move into physical assets like metals more specifically, because there is something there tangible that is worth something.
Hey, and point you raise is a really good one, because like real estate, especially in the areas that people are fleeing to from in the United States, fleeing from urban areas to suburban areas and ex-urban areas, real estate's gone up in those markets. And you look and you think, I think that, yeah, it's supply and demand, but it's also people somehow intuitively know what you just said, that currency value is probably going down and being in real things is going to be a hedge against loss of purchasing power in fiat currencies. So even though they don't know, they couldn't articulate that concept if you ask them, Chris, I think they're acting that way because there's just some kind of undercurrent, a meta undercurrent, if you will, that's sweeping through that has brought precious metals, copper, and other, even platinums come out of the doldrums. It's just an innate sense. And it might be the big money that knows it. But then when you look at people going into real estate, buying new homes in these markets, they're saying, well, I'm taking on the debt, but it's very likely that I'll be paying back in deeply discounted, depreciated dollars or yen or whatever it is. And I think this could be the beginning of a massive worldwide movement into these tangible assets.
Yeah, I agree. And there's been that huge shift of the way we work and the way people think. I mean, we've really moved to a whole health conscious world. Now everyone thinks working from home is actually a good thing, where a lot of people are like, I could never do that. Now people are realizing, oh my gosh, I love this. And so, you know, things are changing. You don't need to be in the city where it's populated, expensive, all those things. You can move to have a much more beautiful property and home size wise. Your kids can have lots of freedom. And you can still do the same thing. So there's definitely been a change in mindset of how we live. Obviously, when your life is at threat, everybody starts to take another look at life and you realize what's more valuable, lifestyle or working down in the city. And so all that's really changed. And I think the whole mask thing is actually going to probably change a lot of things in terms of, you know, when this is all said and done, you go into hospitals and no one ever wore a mask before. I could see it coming into routine. If anyone going into a hospital should be wearing a mask. If you're going in there sick, coughing, and with anything, you should just wear a mask just because the hospital is full of sick people. Why not reduce it? So I think there's going to be good things that come out of this just that make the overall economy healthier for everyone. Little things like that. I mean, it's minor, but there's going to be changes permanently from COVID. I heard there already are. But.
Oh, yeah, I see it. My son just took a new job. It's the headquarters of the company is located in North Carolina, and he would go up there because it's a new job, but nobody's in the offices. So he's working from basically my dining room, which he's done before. Like what you say, working from home, I'm looking out my window right now. I'm looking at water, looking at palm trees, and just a beautiful day outside, even if it is a little cool. And I literally went down two flights of stairs to get here. So no commute, but I've been doing that for 8 years and I never saw myself doing it either. Hey, let's talk about copper. What is your take on what's going on?
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next.
Lumina Gold, ticker symbol LUM on the Toronto Venture and LMGDF on the OTC, is yet another of legendary mining investor Ross Beaty's Lumina Group. It's advancing the largest primary gold deposit in Ecuador. The resource is estimated to contain 16.7 million ounces of gold and 2.2 billion pounds of copper. At just $7 US per ounce gold equivalent, it trades at an incredible 13% of its net present value. More good news is on the way with an updated PEA study expected in Q2 of 2020. It has unparalleled infrastructure. There's grid power to camp with plentiful, inexpensive hydropower available. It's close to two ports and is just 8 kilometers from a paved highway. Water is plentiful. It's at low elevation, and the closest community, which is very supportive of Lumina's effort, is just a 7 kilometer ride. With all this going for it, it's likely to follow the typical Ross Beaty formula, which means big returns to shareholders. Find out more and sign up for notifications at luminagold.com. That's Lumina, L-U-M-I-N-A gold.com.
The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Yeah, copper's obviously been on a tear. It's kind of, obviously it's used, heavy used material for building and growth of the economy. When copper's doing really well, we think, well, generally the economy is going to be doing well, or it already is doing well. So copper is really a big leading indicator of future strength. And so copper's been on a tear. It's having a dramatic move. You can't deny it. It's in a very strong uptrend. Maybe it's getting a little long in the teeth here, but overall, copper being as strong as it is a really good sign on the overall economy. There's a lot of things that actually say that. As much as I'm against, I think the fundamentals and the economy is really rough in terms of earnings for companies, I do feel as though the markets have really changed in the way that we're seeing investors move into industrial stocks, material stocks, the small caps are back alive. Oil's recovering, copper's taking off. It seems like we are in a full-fledged new bull market. And, you know, it just doesn't feel like the economy is there, but we're really seeing everyone in all these asset classes move kind of like we are. And I think that's one of the reasons metals have been underperforming the last couple of months, is because we're seeing this mind shift that everyone seems to be thinking everything's really good and peachy, and they don't need to protect as much with a hedge like gold. Which, I mean, that's why it's going down. The masses, I think, feel that way. But overall, I do think gold and silver are still in a very strong bull flag pattern, which point to dramatically higher prices. But right now, the sentiment is everyone wants to get the risk on. They want to buy growth stocks. And that's where their money's going right now. And so it's flowing out of the defensive, boring sectors like utilities and metals and moving into risky stocks.
Quickly, they forget. Soon they forget, right? It was just a couple of months ago, so it seems. Well, gold got slammed, silver got slammed in March, and then they came roaring back to record. Well, gold came back to record highs. Silver is still trading at less than 50% of its all-time record, and we'll see how much that will go on for. Any other markets, interest rates, currencies, what are your thoughts there?
Interest rates and currencies, I mean, obviously interest rates are going to be stagnant for a long time. They might bump around a little bit, but the Fed just can't lift the rates. I mean, it'll crush the banking system. And people will never be able to afford the debt that they have. I mean, we got record debt, obviously. I think bonds are starting to show some signs that they're trying to rally up, though. I do think we could see this COVID wave to eventually spark enough fear that we see bonds move up and in the stock market have a little bit of a pullback. But other than that, I mean, I don't really see those two moving too much. I think they're kind of pretty dormant in terms of what's going forward. I think an interesting asset you touched on a minute ago was platinum. Now, if you look at platinum on a monthly chart, it's in a multi-year base. It's been trying to carve out a bottom for years. And this month, just really last week, it was breaking out of a basing pattern and on the monthly chart. Now this week, it's sold back down. It's pulled below the breakout level. And so we don't have a confirmed buy signal yet on platinum, but it is this month or next month, it could potentially break out and be in a new bull market. And what's exciting about when something breaks out of a multi-year base is we usually see a multi-month rally, a big rally. We saw it in gold in 2019. We saw the silver breakout. It was a 45% move in silver when it broke out. Gold miners broke out this year, and now platinum is threatening a breakout. So it could be the next kind of hot play in the precious metal sector for a couple month rally.
I totally agree with you. And let's not forget the platinum to gold ratio. Prior to 3 years ago, platinum always traded at a premium, generally around 10 to 20% premium over gold. And then all of a sudden, and this happened every time post-World War II, where platinum would go below gold, it would be a buying opportunity where you would really, if you were buying platinum, you made out like a bandit. And then 3 years ago, all that changed. And it's been that way ever since. I've heard numerous explanations for it. But the fact is, platinum mines are underinvested, both in Russia and in South Africa, the primary producers. There's some up in Canada as well. They've been underinvested in, and they can only go for so long at these discounted prices. I mean, you look at jewelry on eBay, and platinum jewelry is trading at a discount to gold jewelry. I've never seen that happen before. I'm not like that into platinum, but I'm thinking, well, yeah, maybe it's a time to pick up some platinum because it's trading, you know, $1,000 an ounce. That's, and it was below that. It was $850 and even lower. You know, just there's no rational explanation that we're aware of for this.
For sure. And it's not a crowded trade. I mean, it's been out of favor for years, and you don't really hear too many people talking about it. People aren't really that interested in platinum. And I mean, it could be, this is why bottoms are created, and lots of opportunities. No one's in it right now. It's starting potentially a new bull market, and eventually everyone will be back into it again when it is in a bull market. So they drive the price up. So it's going to be interesting. I don't own any platinum, but looking at the monthly chart makes me want to go buy a bar or two just because I don't have any, and it's starting a potentially new bull market. But I'm not holding my breath yet. We're far from December being over and closing on a breakout, but we'll see. It could be a good little play.
And that $1,000 mark, definitely psychological resistance there. It broke it a number of times over the past few years and could never stay above it. Yeah. And then would retreat, you know, 20-25% and left everybody holding the bag. So do you buy a producer? There's not many producers around, a couple of Canadian ones and a couple of, I guess, South African ones, but not many. Or do you just buy the bullion and hold on to it? Obviously, mining companies, you get a play on the leverage. I guess we need to look more into that, don't we?
Yeah, it really depends on your style, right? I mean, for me, when it comes to precious metals, I'm more so buy the physical and hold it. And if platinum's at a huge discount to gold, it's starting a bull market, I would buy it simply because I also have fear that we could have some terrible, you know, issue with currencies. So I like the idea of physical. When it comes to metal, I buy like an insurance policy that holds its value. It doesn't lose its value so much, like expire every year and you got to rebuy the insurance. I like the physical. So I would personally be more interested in getting some bars or some rounds of platinum. Potentially you could get into there's a platinum ETF you could get into for some quick plays. And so it's, you can trade it like a stock, super easy. So you can definitely take advantage of the breakout, make some money and move out of it, but hopefully buy some while it's at a good value here to store away for safekeeping. You never know. It could be worth $5,000 someday.
Very, very likely. Yeah. Today it's down $31 on Kitco's fix there. It's showing $989. Let's see how it does. If it just stays under that $1,000 mark for a couple of weeks, it could be building a leg up, huh?
It could be. Yep.
And look at palladium, the way that has performed. You know, it used to be trading 2 or 3 to 1 to platinum. Now platinum's trading 2 to 1 to it. And palladium stayed over that $2,000 mark for quite a while here.
Yeah, it's had a great run. It's really up there. I mean, I think it's used quite a bit in industrial stuff. So it's got big demand, especially in Asia. So it's just been on a tear. And It's well out of its breakout zone. I like platinum because it's a fresh new move. You get some instant gratification. If this is a real breakout, it should be month after month to the upside, which is what I'd be looking for.
Yeah. Also an industrial metal platinum. And it's been bearish also because diesel cars are going out of vogue. That's primarily its application in the automotive industry, catalytic converters for diesels. So when you see that going down and then the conversion to EVs, all these things pointed to a psychological bear market in it. Even though it's such a small market, if there's a couple of big buyers that just enter the market, industrial or investor, that could send that thing flying like instantly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. The other interesting stuff was like the rare earths and uranium stocks. I mean, they're rocketing higher. URA is a uranium ETF. Another one is REXM, I think, Remix, REMX. And that's the rare earth. And they've just been on fire. They really just popped and have taken off. And they've been dormant for a long time. I mean, if you zoom way out, especially for uranium, I mean, it's been out of favor since the day the ETF opened. It just keeps going lower and lower. Yeah. So I don't know what the big spike in uranium is. Is there a war coming with nukes or what? But
yeah, well, it doesn't seem like nuclear power plants are really in vogue now.
No.
With alternatives. But there is the replacement cycle for the existing nuclear power plants. They require a steady supply and a lot of uranium. And they put off renewing those contracts because it's been so cheap to buy it in the spot market. Maybe that is coming to an end now. And that's what we're seeing the beginning of, perhaps.
Yeah, something's changing. There's been some pivot or shift in that market segment that's creating. There's some new rule or reg or something's happened for that to spark, I think. So we'll probably find out about it, obviously, after the prices move. We'll be like, oh, that's why the smart money moved in.
Yeah, well, the smart money knows these things way ahead of what we do. Chris, just tell us where we find you, how we subscribe to your service, how we connect with you on the web.
Sure. Yeah. You can follow me at thetechnicaltraders.com. And I've got a blog there with all kinds of free ideas, trading ideas. Every couple of days, we post something new. More or less, what I provide everyone is a morning video that will teach you a little bit about technical analysis in the current market conditions, why things are doing what they're doing, where they should be going next, and how it's going to affect any of our positions. And then anytime we take a trade, we share it with subscribers and we just navigate these markets focusing on a band trading strategy, which stands for best asset now. So we're moving into these leading sectors as they're showing signs of leadership on many different levels on the charts and sentiment and cycles. And we try and take advantage of these big movers before everyone gets into them and then drives these markets higher.
Yeah, well, you always want to be the first mover, not the last mover, because that's when you get burned on the markets, you know. It's the flavor du jour, the Baskin-Robbins effect, you know, whatever that flavor is, that's what everybody wants. And by that point, it's too late. Anyways, you've got a question for Chris, myself, send us an email to kl@kerrylutz.com. Make sure you go to our website, financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Sign up for a free newsletter. Chris, always a pleasure. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Yep. Thanks for having me, Kerry. Take care.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.